May the Lord help us to commence this morning by singing hymn 349. 349. Jesus, Shepherd of thy people, lead us through this desert land. We are weak and poor and feeble, yet we trust thy mighty hand. Great Protector, by thy power alone we stand. Hymn 349. Reading this morning, let us turn to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13, and we will read from verse 18 to the end of the chapter. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13, and we'll begin our reading in verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart.
This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom, and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James, and Joses, and Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honour, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there, because of their unbelief. There we leave the reading of God's word this morning, and may he have granted unto us a little understanding of what we have read together, and help every one of us now to truly pray. O most holy and almighty God, we gather once more on this thy day, that one day in seven that has been set apart, it is that day where we come aside from that which we would normally, ordinarily do every other day of the week. It is naturally a day of rest that is good for us all. But Lord, for thy people that have gathered here this morning, there is a deeper desire. And may it prove to be so today, and may that desire be met. There will be that desire to know thee. There will be that desire to worship thee. There will be that desire to be fed and encouraged and strengthened, or chastened and quickened through thy word. There will be hearts drawn heavenward. There will be, Lord, something known and felt. And we pray that today it may be the desire in the hearts of all people as we gather to do so with that right reverence and godly fear, knowing what we are and knowing who thou art. And yet we thank thee that yes, thou art a holy and just God. But Lord, we thank thee that thou art also a good God, and that thy holiness and thy justice, thy righteous wrath and anger is all good. Help us to understand it, to fall before it. And when there are matters that go against our will, when there are situations and circumstances which are so perplexing, may we be able to say, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And may we rest in that this morning, Lord, that thou art our maker. Thou art the one that has sustained our lives, whether in sickness or in health, to this day. Thou art the one that has every matter in thy hand. And we have to prove, Lord, not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. Thou art the King of kings and Lord of lords, that givest authority to one and another to reign and to rule over us. And so help thy people here today to rest in thee. But Lord, may we rest in thy dear Son, the friend of sinners. May we rest, Lord, in that precious blood that was shed at Calvary. May we be drawn, Lord, unto thy dear Son, and see contained there perfect love. May each and every one prove those words, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. May we know that powerful drawing to our Saviour, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. And in a world of continual change, in a world of continual trial and trouble, may we be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Where there are those here this morning, Lord, that are dead and far off, Lord, we pray that thou wilt bring them to life. Lord, we cannot do it. We are powerless, but we know that oftentimes, ordinarily through thy word, thou wilt cause souls to be brought out of nature's darkness into thy glorious light. And if there are those here this morning that are dead, oh, make them alive. If there are those here, Lord, that are alive, Lord, but they fear, maybe they are not, that are seeking after thee and long to lay hold upon thee through the precious gift of faith, Lord, remove the cloud of unbelief. Turn the repenting heart so that they may find rest in thee. Lord, whatever is needed to turn them, Lord, we pray that it may be so. Lord, those that have known thee and yet, Lord, have drifted away and find themselves in a cold and lukewarm state, oh, may it be today that in whatever way is needed for their souls, they may be encouraged. They may be, Lord, found nearer unto thee. But Lord, the multitude of needs here today in the spiritual lives of everyone we know can be met in thy word. And we pray, dear Holy Spirit, that thou wilt come and apply the precious word with power, so that today we may be strengthened. Lord, we are weak without thee, and we will sin and we will stumble and we will bring shame and reproach to thy name without thee. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt keep thy restraining hand upon us all, so that we will be kept from great and heinous sin. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt, we will be kept also from the spirit of the Pharisee, where we think that we are good and could never do this or that or the other. Show us more and more, Lord, how wicked we are by nature. But Lord, we need more than that. Show us thy dear Son. Lord, enable us to throw out those idols that dare to rival thee. But Lord, we do not want an empty heart, where therefore other things will jump in and fill it. Oh, fill us by thy Spirit with thyself. Lord, we ask for great things. But Lord, thou art a great God. And today, may great things be done. Lord, we pray for all here today. And Lord, we pray firstly for those that are unable to be here. We pray for our dear friend David Parish to be with him in his need. Lord, thy hand is upon him. Thou hast brought him low. And as his strength, Lord, is diminishing, may he be strengthened in the inner man. May he be given that peace that passeth all understanding. May he know a sweet comfort in thee. So help him on his bed of affliction, and to be with his family as they look on and support him as they can. And Lord, we pray that this time may be for the good of them and for the good of the church and congregation as a whole. And Lord, we pray for one that has undergone that operation this week. Lord, do be with her, and as she recovers from it, Lord, if it be thy will, may she prove that it has been needful for her to grant that healing and that strengthening and that help in all matters. And to be with her husband and children too at this time, that they may be able to rest in thy will. But Lord, there are others, we are sure, who are in need in one way and another. There will be those that are in weakness in body and in mind. There will be those with those hidden things which no one knows anything about apart from thee. And Lord, we pray for them. Do help them, truly we beg. We pray for those that mourn at this time. There are those that have lost loved ones in tragic circumstances in recent weeks. Lord, there is much to solemnize our hearts and minds at this time, and cause us to consider, where are we? Lord, we have had so many reminders throughout this year, and in recent times about the brevity and uncertainty of our lives. And may there not be one here, Lord, that thinks they are invincible, that thinks they have a right and an expectation to be here next Lord's Day. Lord, show us that none of us know. And show us, Lord, that we are ready to meet thee. Lord, may it be so. That sinners here are know they are saved by grace, and find no rest until they are assured that they are ready, and it is well with them and will be well when called to die. Enable us this morning, as one once said, to preach as a dying man to dying men, as if never sure to preach again. Grant unto those that preach the word that urgency, that zeal, that power from on high, so that great things may be done in this church, in this congregation, in this locality, in this nation. And that in wrath, Lord, thou wilt remember mercy. For we are a nation, Lord, that has departed from thee. And great and grievous things have taken place on Friday. Lord, we pray, have mercy. Have mercy. And Lord, we pray for those that have promoted this assisted dying or assisted murder bill. We pray for them. Lord, bring them to life, we pray. Quicken them by thy Spirit so that they may be a bold and proud and have a public witness that they have sinned and come short of thy glory and that their thoughts will be turned. Lord, use these things to be a witness to this nation and yet have mercy upon us. Lord, we do not plead what we deserve, for we do deserve thy righteous wrath and anger upon us. But we plead, if it be thy will, turn us again. And Lord, we look with shame upon our nation. We look with shame upon that which has been done and is sought to be done. But we look with encouragement, not to our leaders, but to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who lifts up rulers and throws them down again as thou seest fit. And although our land is in a time of great trouble, and there is a diminishing in thy church in this land as far as we can see, we thank thee that thy kingdom is not restricted to our national borders. And we thank thee that there is a great, great work going on in so many nations. We pray for the church in China and North Korea and in parts of Africa and the Middle East and other parts of the world where there is fierce and bitter persecution upon thy people, and yet there is a great growth. Lord, do be with them, we pray. And we thank thee that thy word is still going forth and it cannot be contained by the hands of wicked men and women. But through it, it grows and is strengthened, and we know it always has been, and we know it always will be, till that last seed is sown in that good ground, and until that last fruit has been seen, until that great day when thou wilt end this world, and gather all thy people to thyself, and cast that into eternal damnation, which is wicked. Until that day, Lord, thy work will carry on. And we pray that today thy work will carry on. In this place, Lord, may thy word go forth with power and be glorified. We pray for all those that preach the word today, whether it be our brethren that we know and love dearly for the truth's sake. Lord, help them as they now proclaim thy word. Lord, be with them. Whether it be in the churches we know or in any place of worship where thy word is faithfully preached, may thy rich blessing rest upon it today. Lord, give us strength and courage and diligence, Lord, to study thy word and to proclaim thy word faithfully for the good of the people. But we plead for the power of thy Spirit. We plead that thou wilt come and enlighten our minds, Lord, to thy word of truth. That whether young or old today, we may be found feeding on thy word, worshipping thee. And so, whether it be in the singing of the hymns, in the reading of thy word, in prayer and in preaching, we may know together that humble desire that we are one, gathered in thy fear. So be with all, be with the young, be with the old, be with those in between. Be with the sick, be with the strong, be with every case, Lord, today, so that we may be united together through thy word. Give us every word to speak, Lord, Thou knowest our need this morning. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us, Lord, to be loving. Help us, Lord, to be that which thou requirest us to be, thy messenger with thy message. And be with everyone here, that they will have those ears to hear that we have been reading of, so that we don't just tick the box of a formal religion, but that we are found before thee. So forgive, Lord, our many sins. Lord, they are great, but they do not surpass thy mercy and thy love. Help us to rightly confess them, both publicly and privately, and to find rest in the friend of sinners. So, Lord, help us. Help us now, we pray. Forgive everything that I have asked wrongly, and make up in giving where I have failed in asking. For we ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1023. Jesus, where'er thy people meet, there they behold thy mercy seat. Where'er they seek thee, thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. Hymn 1023.
Neither the Lord to help us. All here this morning, both in the preaching and the hearing of the word, I'll ask you to turn with me, please, to the chapter that we read together. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13, and particularly verses 40 to 42. Matthew, chapter 13, and particularly verses 40 to 42. But I'll read again from verse 37. This after the disciples had asked, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. In this chapter, part of which we have read together this morning, we have many parables. And Jesus used these parables to illustrate the message that he was declaring to them. And he used pictures and situations that in that day people could relate to and clearly understand. And in this parable that we have before us this morning, we have an exceedingly solemn parable. And it is a fact that in Jesus' teachings, he spoke far more about hell than he did heaven. And he used these illustrations to cause those that had ears to hear to ponder where they are and where they will be spending eternity. And dear friends, do we ponder this enough? Now, the Lord's people are not scared into heaven by the preaching of hell. They are brought to love the Lord. But sometimes the Lord can use circumstances, situations, and indeed, as he used for the good of many in his day upon this earth, to cause them to question where they are. So we have this parable, and we have this parable explained. And did it strike you as we were reading it? About that there are lots of parables, the mustard seed and other ones. The disciples requested, didn't they? They requested to have this one explained to them. Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field, because they could see that there was something they needed to understand. So let us explain it briefly before we move on to the heart of our thoughts this morning. being the coexistence of good and evil in this earth. To then consider the patience and judgment of our God. And then to finally consider that final separation. So this parable, for you children and younger ones, to try and help you understand what this parable is teaching. We have it saying here, don't we, that a man sowed good seed in his field. He sowed some wheat, and it was his field, and it was good seed. And he expected in due time that seed to sprout up and to bring forth fruit. But we read about an enemy, a wicked one, who we have explained from Jesus was the devil. And this wicked one was the one that sowed tares into the wheat field. And those tares were a dangerous seed. It was a seed that could kill animals and cause trouble and pain and suffering to humans. But when it came up with the wheat, it looked the same. It looked the same, and you couldn't really distinguish between the good seed and the bad seed. And it wasn't until time passed by that the good seed produced good fruit and the bad seed produced those tares, that which was harmful. And, dear friends, we live in a world where there is good seed, Christians, the Lord's people. And we live in a world where there is bad seed, those tares, the devil's seed, that will at that great day be gathered up and burned in the fire. And we have to ponder, which one are we? It has become very apparent to many of us throughout this year, as one and another are taken from time to eternity, suddenly, tragically, or maybe expectedly, that day is a day we know not of. But there'll be those of you even now thinking, well, it won't be me. It won't be me, but it might be you. And are you ready? Are you ready for that great day of gathering? Are you made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? So what can we learn from this account, this solemn account, this morning? As I said, firstly, the coexistence of good and evil. We read clearly in verse 30, don't we? Let both grow together until the harvest. It has been from the beginning of time, and will be till the end of time, that the good seed will grow up among the bad seed. But this is where all parables fall down, that they are just an illustration to illustrate one point. Because before the remarkable and powerful work of Almighty God, we are all bad seed. Until he turns us into that good seed. This is where the parable falls down in that way. Not that Jesus' teaching was defective, but he was using it to illustrate one point about that final separation. But dear friends, at this day, good and evil are coexisting. We have seen it in our nation, haven't we, on the past Friday, as our MPs voted on that bill in Parliament about the premature ending of life with those that are terminally ill. There is good and there is evil. And it is very easy for us to say, Lord, why don't you get rid of the evil? Why don't you overthrow the wickedness in this nation? And this is the thought of many as they look upon the Christian world. They say, well, where is your God? If your God was all-powerful and good and loving and kind and merciful, why is there all this evil? Because God says, good and evil will coexist. And at his appointed time, he may turn that evil into good. And you and I are exhorted to pray for our enemies. We are exhorted to pray for that which is evil. How many of us this week have prayed for Kim Leadbetter and all those other MPs that have promoted the push of this evil? Or have we just prayed for their overthrow and that they may their evil desires may be turned away? What a remarkable thing it would be if God's power could be seen changing the hearts of these men and women, so that in a few weeks' time they actually stand up and say, no, I've seen my evil. God has worked in me. God has shown me his light. God has shown me that all life is precious. Dear friends, this is the way the Lord works. This was the way the Lord worked with the Apostle Paul. Many of those early Christians would have said, probably like you and me, why does this evil exist? Why, Lord, don't you work and turn our nation? Why don't you overthrow all those ones that are oppressing us? Why don't you strike down Saul of Tarsus? Why? Because God will have both growing together for his honour and glory and for the strengthening of his church. God will choose when to turn the tares to wheat. And sometimes, in fact, quite regularly, the presence of evil, the evil and the good coexisting, has that effect upon the Lord's people, draws them nearer to their Lord. You've proved it, haven't you? You godly ones here this morning, you've proved it. When are you frequently most near the Lord and found at your Saviour's feet? Oh, when there's evil, when there's trouble, when there's distress, when there's difficulty. Ah, the necessity of good and evil growing together. But dear friends, we have a promise that evil will not finally overcome. We do have that protection from evil. What do we read in John's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 15? I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. We're not promised to be taken out of the world and to be just placed into a field of wheat where there are no tares. We are promised that those tares and that wheat, the good and the bad seed, will grow up together and will always grow up together until that great day of judgment. But we know that the wheat Once it is changed to wheat, will always be wheat and will bring forth fruit. We have that promise of the protection from evil. But I also think of the words of the Apostle Paul in writing to Timothy. He said in writing there about the perseverance that there would be in the face of evil. In 2 Timothy 3 verse 11 he said, didn't he? Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. You know, there is throughout the word of God those promises that the Lord's people will persevere. And yes, the tares may be exceedingly close to you, and you may fear about whether you will become a tare. But no, dear friends, the wheat will always be wheat. But they will be together. That's why we don't shut ourselves up in monasteries and nunneries, as tempting as it may be at times to keep everything away from us. No, they will grow together. The good and the evil will coexist, it is clear from this passage, till the end of time, till that day of harvest. But dear friends, we must always remember for the wheat, for the good seed, there is a purpose in the evil. For we have the promise in Romans 8:28, don't we? All things work together for them who love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The coexistence of good and evil is exceedingly troublesome to the Lord's people. Until we know and understand, it will always be the way and always has been the way. But what's the comfort? What's the comfort? It's looking to that day of harvest, isn't it? It's looking to the cross of Christ, trusting in him and what he has done, knowing that what he has promised will be fulfilled. And there will be that time, as we read of in the book of Revelation, where God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, where there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Why? For the former things are passed away. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. So we see in this parable there will be evil and good beside one another till the end of time. But what also do we see in this parable? God's patience. God's patience. He has been patient to you, dear sinner. He is long-suffering. And he has not given us what we deserve. There are many that confuse God's love, and when a tragic thing happens, they say, well, God is love, so why has this happened? And I believe that because God is love, this shouldn't have happened. But dear friends, we forget that God is a just God. God will and must punish sin. And what you and I need to be pleading for is not for justice, but for mercy. For mercy. For his patience to be continued upon us that are and do come so far short. We need that patience until the Lord comes again. My thoughts are going to a verse, if I can find it, in the book of James. We read there in that last chapter, "Be patient therefore, brethren. Be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Dear friends, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. It really does. Whether that be the end of this world, or whether it be the end of our lives, the end is drawing nigh. And the Lord's people are required to be patient, as our God is patient with us. Patient in the face of adversity and persecution. But how can we be patient? James says, doesn't he? Establish your hearts. Our hearts, by God's grace, need to be built upon the foundation of Christ. Our hearts need to be settled upon his finished work at the cross of Calvary. And to know that yes, we will continue doing that which is wrong. Yes, we will carry on mourning about all the evil that is in us and about us. But his people will persevere. He will continue to be patient. But what else do we see in this parable about God's patience and his judgment? That he will be the one that will condemn. He will send his angels to separate. We want to, don't we, when we see great wickedness, to take matters into our own hands, to do justice, to overthrow wicked men and women. But, dear friends, we're not called to do that. Because the Lord will judge. Dearly beloved, Paul wrote in Romans 12, "Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." Have you thought about that this week as we see such wickedness and the tares, the good seed and the bad seed growing up together in this world? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. But don't look at our MPs. Look at yourselves. I will repay, saith the Lord. The Lord will repay the sins that you have committed if they are not laid upon Christ. The Lord will deal with you as he will deal with every wicked one if we have not been brought to faith and repentance in him. I will repay, saith the Lord. So, as the Lord shows patience and judgment to us, so are we exhorted to show patience to our enemies. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the way the Lord works, isn't it? That's the way the Lord worked in the life of the Apostle Paul, wasn't it? In the book of Acts, as he sought to kill and to capture those many men and women. What did Ananias do as he had to go and approach Saul? He didn't seek vengeance. No. He showed love to that one that was his enemy. He put his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." He showed gentleness. He showed love. We see, dear friends, that we are to do the same. Oh, what patience there is with our God. And He will be the final judge at that great day. But, dear friends, what do we see solemnly in this parable? There will be that final separation, which is really the verses of our text. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's no nice way to dress up these verses. There will be a final separation. There will be that harvest day. John saw it in his vision on the Isle of Patmos, as recorded in the book of Revelation, didn't he? In Revelation 14 we read, don't we, about the reaper. We read there so clearly, "I looked, and behold, a white cloud. Upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel cried and said, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And that sickle was thrust in, and that reaping was done." There will be that final separation. Dear friends, the word of God is clear. The wicked will be punished. But it's easy to look at others and say they are wicked. It's so easy to look around the chapel and say, well, they are the ones that need to repent. But, dear sinner, what about you? What about you? At the day of God's harvest, when that sickle is thrust in, will we be gathered to glory, or will we be gathered into the furnace of fire? This was a graphic image that Jesus used. Hell elsewhere in the Gospels, for example, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, where it says there, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." That word there is referring to the Valley of Hinnom in the Greek. It is a place basically which was thought to be the rubbish dump of Jerusalem, where there was a continual fire burning up the rubbish and all the dead animals and the crucified and the slaughtered. It was a place of terrible, terrible destruction and suffering, and they all knew what it was. And this was the image that Jesus set before them. This is where the wicked will be cast into a furnace of fire. And dear friends, that is where you and I deserve to be cast this morning, into that furnace of fire. And it is into that furnace of fire that you and I will be cast if we know nothing of Christ as our Saviour. These are not little matters. These are not light things this morning. Pause, my soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the church's living head? And it doesn't matter whether you're 3 or 93. Do you know anything of the precious blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin? Do you know anything of what it means in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, where he cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? Do you know what it is to have found in Christ a hope of salvation? Can you say with the lines of another hymn this morning, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? Because there will be that casting into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And thinking upon these verses yesterday, you know, it came to me in this way. There will be wailing and gnashing. There will be wailing, firstly. There will be bitter sorrow from some. There will be tears saying of those that say, well, Lord, why am I here? Why am I here? All my life I went to chapel. All my life I ticked the boxes of religion. And all my life I thought I was a Christian. Have not I said, Lord, Lord? There'll be wailing from those that thought they should be in heaven, but are found in hell. Is that you? Are you on the road to be a wailer this morning? You're always here. You're always doing outwardly that which is required of you by those about you. But you know nothing of the precious blood of Christ. You know nothing of what it is to rest wholly and solely in his perfect righteousness. Dear friends, on that day, you'll be a wailer. You will be a wailer in hell eternally. No words of comfort. I can't do it. Matters have overtaken me in recent weeks, which have brought sharp things into focus. And there needs to be an urgency in preaching. There needs to be, dear friends, that realization that we are condemned and will spend an eternity in hell unless we know Christ. I can't butter you up. I can't speak unto you sweet words that I have no foundation and no merit. I have to warn you, and I have to point you to Christ, which we hope to do this evening. But, dear friends, do you deserve to be a wailer this morning? Question yourself. Question yourself. You're hearing and you're doing the right things, but you're not hearing and doing savingly. You know, a verse that's been much on my mind in recent weeks is Romans 10, verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There is a belief in the heart. There's a confession with the mouth that our hope is in Christ. Otherwise, dear friends, I fear you'll be a wailer at that great day. There'll be a wailing, but there will also be a gnashing of teeth. So what does that mean, the gnashing of teeth? It means really what we read of in the Acts of the Apostles, where Stephen spoke before he was stoned to those Jews, and they were overcome with anger at what Stephen was saying. Maybe that will be you at that great day of harvest, when the Lord gathers the good seed in. There'll be blind anger that God has sent you there. But it will be justice. You cannot say that God is not just. If I can think of the hymn number 761. You know, this verse used to hang upon me, and I had to say it continually. Should sudden vengeance seize my breath, I must pronounce thee just in death. And if my soul were sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. And that will be true of every one of us, dear friends. God's righteous law approves it well that you and I are damned eternally, but for the precious blood of Christ. I think of Psalm 119. The psalmist says in that psalm, thou art good and doest good. And if you and I are sent to hell, it is good that he has done so, because justice has been done. But dear sinner, if you are trembling this morning, for those that look through faith to Christ, justice has been done. That one who is both just and the justifier. Those that look to him and plead for forgiveness of sin, it's those that have a right to be gathered in eternally to glory. They know they have nothing in and of themselves, but they look to one that has paid that ransom price. And that price cannot be paid twice. Dear friends, may we not be a wailer or a gnasher. So where is our hope this morning? Where is our hope built upon? What did Jesus say to his disciples? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And that's the question that separates us from heaven and from hell. Do you believe in God? And do you believe in his dear Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ? You say, what does it mean to believe? Jesus said at the end of that parable, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Has the Lord spoken to you through his word? Has the Holy Spirit convicted you through his word? Has the Holy Spirit led you to Christ through his word to see, yes, I'm not worthy of the least of God's goodness. Yes, I don't deserve to be saved, but the Lord has opened my eyes to see I'm a sinner. The Lord has troubled me. The Lord has shown me that I'm not right and I'm not ready. But the Lord has led me to find a certain peace in a crucified Saviour. A certain peace. Because he came, dear sinner, this morning, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's who Jesus came for. Sinners like you and me, to plead for mercy and to find rest in him. So as we close our thoughts this morning, solemn things we have looked at, but Jesus spoke them, and so must those that preach his word. But I close with the words of the Apostle Paul in the last chapter of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Test your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Dear friends, this morning, all I can ask you and beg that the Lord will cause you to do is examine yourselves. Examine yourselves and say, am I the good seed? Or am I the bad seed? Do I have a hope of heaven? Or do I have and should have an expectation of hell? As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. But there's another verse. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school will be in the vestry this afternoon at 2:30 with an address by Mr. Cottingham. There will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Tim Parrish. Mr. Bridesart is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And on Friday evening, there will be a meeting of church members for prayer at 8:00. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Tim Parrish is expected to preach. Let us now close with hymn 563. Come thou now, exalted Saviour, bless us with a solemn frame. Teach us now henceforth for ever to adore thy precious name. Lovely Jesus, never let us stray again. Hymn 563.
Holy Lord God, we come before thee now at the close of this service. Give unto us each those eyes to see what we deserve and where we are heading. But grant unto us eyes to see a precious Saviour that laid down his life for sinners. And may each be able to come unto thee, those that are weary and are heavy laden, and may they find rest in the preciousness of Christ. But Lord, as we have just been singing, may we never rest or glory in a form without the power. Jesus, make us wise and holy, thee to love and to adore, and in living, live in thee forevermore. Oh, may each and every one here be delivered from the wailing and gnashing of teeth, and be found living in thee forevermore. So seal thy word upon our hearts by the power of thy Spirit. Do with it, Lord, today as thou requirest. Help us through the remainder of the day, those that gather for the Sunday school, and as those may gather again this evening to worship thee. Lord, be with us all. Forgive everything that has been wrong in our worship, we pray. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.